Two Gentlemen of Verona, a play by William Shakespeare.
In 1971, the playwrights John Guare and Mel Shapiro teamed with composer Galt McDermott to turn Shakespeare's Two Gentlemen of Verona into a musical. It was produced in Central Park as part of the Public Theater's Free Shakespeare in the Park series, and then moved to Broadway, where it won two Tony Awards. And now it's returning to Central Park as the second production at the Delacorte Theater this summer, and performances begin tonight. I'm very pleased to welcome all three of its creators to my show now to tell us about it. Hello.
Hi. It's also kicking off the Public's 50th anniversary season.
Now, the Delacorte is a lot different from the theater that you produced this in the first place, isn't
it? It's exactly the same theater.
It is? I thought that was a kind of a movable theater.
Were two theaters. The whole show was done first in the park, but in those days, they had a mobile unit that after one of the shows that would be done in the park would then go on a truck and play all the five boroughs. Mel should talk. This is John Guare talking, but this is Mel Shapiro should be talking because the whole show is his idea.
Was your idea? I thought it was Joe Papp's.
Oh, no. Everything was Joe Papp's idea. the impulse to making it a musical was because Joe asked me to direct the play. It was going to be in the Delacorte Theater, but then he said, oh, I forgot to tell you, it's going to go on the mobile stage, which was this touring unit in all the boroughs for about 4 weeks. And the year before, the show that was on the mobile unit, Macbeth, was greeted with beer bottles and Coke cans by the audience. So
they just didn't get it.
They didn't get it.
They just didn't want it in their neighborhood, because the shows would come pull up into your neighborhood, and there were all these fancy witches and thanes.
And highfalutin language. Yes. And it didn't seem appropriate to put this very gentle little comedy before that particular audience, so we were looking for a way to make it more accessible and exciting.
But you didn't want to do something as extreme, we might say, as West Side Story, where it was totally rewritten, only the basic plot line. Kiss Me, Kate.
The mandate from Joe when he heard the idea for doing it for a musical was you must keep Shakespeare's lines, you must obey the integrity of the play, the spirit of the play. And in our fashion, we did try to keep to that.
It is the play. It's not a taking off of Two Gentlemen. It is a production of Two Gentlemen of Verona.
So what did you do, John? Did you just change some of the language that was difficult to understand?
No, Mel had directed House of Blue Leaves, which had opened a few months before off-Broadway, and he asked me if I would take this ramshackle five-act play that's Shakespeare's first play, and they're not even sure how much of it he wrote, and shape it into something that could work for 90 minutes out on the street. So it was very much all structural structural shaping.
And then when did Galt get into this?
Galt was the resident composer that summer in Central Park for all three plays.
Joe had asked me to write Who Is Sylvia, you know, as part of the play, and I said sure, and I wrote that. And then I never heard anything from Joe for about 2 months, and I sent him the song. And then the next thing I know, he asked me to meet Mel and John and said, well, we're going to write a few more songs because the play needs help.
And what we thought we would do is we thought that our idea was that we would have a few songs that would act as pre-subtitles that would put the meaning into the air. So then the poetry is shot through this ravishing language, and that we could protect the poetry in the play out on the streets by putting the meaning of it in the air before the scene, before as it was happening.
But you didn't realize you could be writing so much music.
No, I didn't realize it, but generally I write a lot of music.
but it was great. We got into the cast at that time was Raul Julia and Clifton Davis and Janelle Allen and
Jerry Stiller.
And we just, Carla Pinza, and we just got inspired. And the songs kept...
We went in with six songs and came out with 33.
And they were all happy to sing?
Who the people were happy to sing?
Yeah, I mean, Raul Julia, I know, could sing, but Jeff Goldblum?
I think they all thought they could. No, Jeff didn't.
Jeff had a walk-on. He was in the chorus. Stocker Channing was in the chorus.
Wow, what a cast.
Yeah. What a chorus.
But Jerry Stiller was singing.
Yes, the song was written for him.
And but everybody in the cast sang. Actors are remarkable people. I mean, you just say, actors, can you sing? Well, of course I can sing. Can you dance? And actors say, well, I can't, but my character can dance.
Now, what you wanted to do, of course, as you said, was to continue to respect the play. So you didn't want to get into some of the weirder things that we've seen, like Othello on roller skates or a lesbian street gang version of Macbeth, Hamlet.
Really? What a good idea.
That's the next version.
May have had a skateboard and people on bicycle.
Yeah. Well, Clive Barnes, in his review of the Broadway production, wrote that it had a book more or less by William Shakespeare, and he added that it was not one of the Bard's more timeless masterpieces. Do you agree, first of all? And then do you feel that it gave you freedom to play a little faster?
Yes, if it had been, I don't think we could have done it with Twelfth Night or Much Ado About Nothing. I think that the
King
fact,
Lear, I cannot see that.
Oh, well, or King, why? Wait,
I know a musical Lear. Of King Lear, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
No, but since it is, as I said, the word ramshackle, I mean, there are inconsistencies in the play that are great puzzles in the play. Because the play is so, it's a beautiful play. But it doesn't have the rock solid majesty of As You Like It or Twelfth Night, and so it is a play. It's the only play that I would feel comfortable with taking apart and reshaping.
It does have a lot of the things that we associate with Shakespeare's comedies: complicated romantic relationships, women disguised as men,
going into the forest to find yourself. Yes.
But it also wound up with 37 songs. That's more than practically any musical I can think of, Galt.
Well, Hair had about 37 songs.
Really?
I think it was a little less, actually, than 37. I think there's 37, but that's with reprises. And stuff. But, well, yeah, I guess it's more than most musicals used to have about 16.
Mm-hmm. But also, you were helped by the fact that it was taken out of Renaissance Italy and moved instead to...
No, it was set in Renaissance.
It was set in Renaissance,
set in Renaissance
Italy,
yes.
With Renaissance costumes.
In Renaissance costumes, yes.
To a rock score.
Hmm. Well, that's fun.
You missed it? You didn't see it?
Well, I'm seeing it tomorrow night.
But you didn't see it? Where were you 34 years ago?
Just born.
What were you saying about Puerto Rico?
Just born. Thank you so much. I thought it was Puerto Rico and New York. What did I know?
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah.
No, it's about two boys traveling from Verona to Milan. And so just as the references for Gold and for the actors, we had it going from San Juan to Milan. But it is nothing, San Juan to New York City. But there's no modern costumes in it.
Your version of the play has a definite anti-war message. This was during the Vietnam War. Was that something that you were intent on doing?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, since we were taking it out on the streets, I mean, you were tripping over the war. The war was not something you had to bring up. I mean, it was there in the very oxygen.
Any significance in the fact that we are now involved in another war?
Are we? I think it's the messages are hold up very, very well after, horrifyingly well after 34 years.
There's very little political theater anymore. Are you saddened by that?
Very much so.
Yes.
Because it's corporate. I mean, there are so many producers. That's why the public theater, that it's managed to survive for 50 years, bringing the life of the city, of the world, of the country onto the stages. The more corporate theater becomes, yes, the less it can't afford to trouble anybody.
Galt, you composed the music. John wrote the lyrics. Should I ask that usual question?
Which
wrote
came
what
first? Well, I can answer that. The words always came first, except for one song where we both wrote our section 300 miles apart. I was up in Canada writing a tune, And John was here writing words, and they, strangely enough, fitted.
Because there's always that rhythmic
that was,
aspect.
It was called Eglamour. John may have adjusted it, but I don't
think... No, he didn't.
It just worked.
It just worked. In the beginning, because Galt lived in Staten Island, where he still, and I can remember calling Galt's answering service and leaving lyrics on his with his answering service.
They quit as a result.
Yes, that's right.
And nowadays, of course, it would all be email. It'd be so easy to do.
That's right. Because we were always worried about the meaning of the show, where the song fit in, and so Galt was tremendously accommodating, and like a great jazz pianist, was just always the music would appear.
Mel, you directed the 1971 production. This one is being directed and choreographed by Kathleen Marshall. Did you not want to go back into directing?
No, it's just that at this point, it's better to have someone take a fresh look at it.
She did Wonderful Town on Broadway.
Yeah, and I loved her work in Kiss Me, Kate. And her brother was a student of mine, Rob Marshall, so it's all in the family.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's still, it's got to be strange to see somebody else take something that
I
is
hope
largely
it's wonderful.
Your
conception. No, it should be wonderful. In a way, I'm glad to be released of that.
What about the facilities at the Delacorte? They have to be a lot more sophisticated than they were in 1975.
The lighting is more sophisticated, and certainly the sound is much more sophisticated.
I would say right at this point... That
don't
the
you think, Alt?
Oh, yeah.
The sound system in the Delacorte is the best sound system in New York City right now. It's remarkable.
A number of people have called it Liev Schreiber said it's the greatest theater in New York.
Well, it's
got the greatest audience.
They also give him some of the best lines to say. So.
Yeah. Yes, you've got great lines. And it's the audience of, 18, the theater, the Delacorte seats 1,881 people, and they all want to be there and are. It's absolutely a great festival every night.
What happened when it was moved to Broadway? It won those Tonys, one for Best Musical and one for Best Book of a musical. Did Shakespeare share that with the two of you?
Very much so, yes.
Shakespeare finally wins a Tony.
Yes. Yeah.
But what was the transition like going from a theater that is outdoors, that seats over 1,000 people?
It had to become more formal. We had to add it became a half an hour longer.
It was a nightmare. The whole spirit of what the show was
That's
outside.
Right. Going to Broadway
Going to Broadway was, the show was lost. And it took a long time to get it back. We didn't get it back until the final preview on Broadway.
Well, are you concerned with this production that people will see it as something of the time of the 70s, the way they will look at Hair?
No, I don't think so, because this show is not about issues such as Hair, which was about the draft, although all productions, Galt can talk about Hair, seem equally timely. I think it just transcends its time, I hope.
We can do Hair today?
People do Hair today, yeah. There's an English company trying to rewrite it, but it doesn't get any better. It's really quite a nice play if you just look at it.
Do you still compose the way you did then?
Yes, I just wrote a song this morning.
I didn't mean do you still compose. I mean,
you mean does the music sound the same?
Yeah,
no,
I recognize them as Galt McDermott songs.
I think it's a little different. I don't think it's any better, but it's a little maybe different.
Do you think that this is probably the best of the Shakespearean plays to do this to? Can you think of any others you would have liked to have done to, Mel?
Maybe we would have. I've always wanted to tamper with Love's Labor's Lost. I think that could lend itself to a musical.
Well, I would love to see this have the same experience that the other one did. It ran 18 months on Broadway. To have a musical by Galt McDermott, Shakespeare instead of Andrew Lloyd Webber, I think that would be fabulous, wouldn't you?
Of course.
Well, who else is in the cast?
Oh, there's a wonderful, I'll tell you, there's a wonderful young guy named Oscar Isaac who just graduated from Juilliard who has the lead, and he's wonderful. And then there's a young girl named Rosario Dawson who's a
We all know her.
And she is from, Alexander, and she's now the star of the movie Rent, and she's wonderful. And Norm Lewis and Renee Goldsberry, and the cast is—it's just a wonderful cast of young people.
Mm-hmm. And it's free on top of
it all. And it's free. And every night at 8 o'clock, And just get there, they start handing out tickets around 1 o'clock down at the Public, or just...
Is that what they do?
I think so, yeah.
Well, if you want more information about Shakespeare in the Park, you can give them a call at 212-539-8750 or visit the Public Theater website at www.publictheater.org. What can I expect from each of you? John, and something else in the works?
Yeah, I'm doing a new play at the Public Theater next year, and directed by George Wolfe, and so it's
so
wonderful.
George is not leaving the Public Theater; he's just doing different things there.
That's right.
And you, Mel?
I'm working in L.A. on a project, a performance piece about bloggers.
Well, and Galt, of course, you're writing songs every
morning. Yeah, I'm working on a musical version of the Tinderbox. You know that fairy tale?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
quite interesting. Yeah.
And when can we hope to see something of that?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Anyway, it's remarkable to be back on Two Gentlemen. It's the happiest time in our life, and we're rehearsing in the same room we did 34 years ago.
And my thanks to all of you so much for being with us, John Guare, Mel Shapiro, and Galt McDermott. Two Gentlemen of Verona, now free at Shakespeare in the Park, the Delacorte Theater. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Very much. Night letter, did you remember to lick the stain? Night letter, did you remember to slap the flame? Night letter.